This is Emory University Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Emory University Sound Science, Greg Burns talks about neuroeconomics, personal decision-making, group decision-making, and iconoclasts, and why it's not so easy to be one. I'm Robin Tricolis for Emory University Sound Science. Here's a little something to consider the next time you're picking out a mate, a new hat, or even a meal at your favorite restaurant.
There are very few decisions that people make that are truly individual decisions. Even things that we consider as kind of individual preferences, you know, like what clothes to buy, or what to eat, or who to go out with, are influenced tremendously by the context that we find ourselves in. So even things that we think of as our own choice are influenced by the social context.
So says Greg Burns, Distinguished Chair of Neuroeconomics at Emory. Still in its infancy, neuroeconomics aims at understanding how we make choices by blending neuroscience, economics, and psychology.
Neuroeconomics is a relatively new field that began about 4 or 5 years ago when neuroscientists got together with experimental economists to try to develop a new science based around how the brain works and how the brain comes to make decisions. So we like to think of neuroeconomics as the neuroscience of decision making.
How people make decisions, whether as individuals or groups, is of such great interest to researchers in so many fields that Burns recently launched the Center for Neuropolicy at Emory.
The overarching goal of the new center is to translate neuroscience findings into actionable policy. It's always a trade-off between what's the most efficient way and what's the fairest way. And there's no best solution to it. So currently the way policy is made in this country tends to be, you know, by small committees and influential people in various forms of either corporate governance or federal or state government committees. People bring their own opinions to the table and make policy based on what they believe is best for whatever their interests are. What this new center is going to do is to try to bring some level of scientific rigor to the process. I like to call it the hardening of a squishy problem.
Burns has just completed a book that looks at how individuals, namely iconoclasts, make real-life decisions.
I have a new book coming out. It's called Iconoclast: A Neuroscientist Reveals How to Think Differently. And this is a book very much kind of in the spirit of bridging neuroscience with real-life decision-making. The premise of the book is that iconoclasts are individuals who do things that pretty much everyone else says can't be done. And the idea is by looking at the stories of famous and not-so-famous iconoclasts, we can learn something about creative decision-making, so it's very much about innovation and creativity, but also looking at the neuroscience behind those processes.
Burns says successful iconoclasts are often made, not born. For whatever reason, they simply see things differently than other people do.
Certainly there are people who are born this way, but most of the people that I interview would not characterize themselves that way. Probably most successful iconoclasts are good with people, but I would say most people who are successful have learned certain tricks of their business and learned to tamp down issues of fear of failure, and to varying degrees learned to see things in novel ways.
And the successful ones can be found everywhere.
There's iconoclasts in everything. You take any field, there's always someone out there who just does things differently and somehow finds a way to succeed at doing it. Sometimes it's hard to generalize, you know, to say that, okay, this is an iconoclast type or this is an innovator. A lot of it has to do, I think, with motivation. And as I talk about in the book, has to do with how people handle failure, and particularly how they handle fear of failure and fear of the unknown. Those are important factors. But the thing that ultimately, I think, distinguishes the people who are really successful is social intelligence. Because they can have the greatest idea in the world, can be completely different and novel, but if they can't convince enough other people of that, it doesn't matter.
I'm Robin Tricolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.